It's good to be here with you tonight. It's always a blessing to be in the fellowship of God's people. We have a common Saviour, and that's what makes all the difference. As we gather as God's people, it's not some kind of a club, but it's something that's because we have genuine life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and praise Him for that. And tonight I would like to in a sense, address Nathan and Andrew, being graduates this year, and I just want to encourage them. But of course, the truths we'll be looking at are also needful in all of our lives, not just for preachers and pastors, evangelists, etc., but for all believers. And so, I'd like us to start here in Luke chapter 2, just a few verses. Just to introduce our passage tonight, Luke chapter 2. It's the way we do ministry. The way we do ministry is really what I want us to look at tonight. Luke chapter 2, and we have the angels singing in heaven. There in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This is God's glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this represent? It represents a desire in God. It represents His goodwill towards man to make sinners into saints. It represents His goodwill towards man to take those who are His enemies and to make them His sons and daughters. It represents those who are destitute in sin and spiritually, and to bring them into the wealth of His Son. And this represents the goodwill of God towards men. And we, as God's people, need to have goodwill towards people. Who does God have goodwill towards here? Does He have it towards good people? Does He have it towards godly people? I think not. Let's look in Acts, please. Chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verse 38, Peter here describing the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And what a wonderful thing that is for us that are here tonight. And how does he describe the ministry of the Lord Jesus? Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How does he describe the ministry of the Lord Jesus? And of course, we know this is just a very brief summary of Christ's ministry. It summarizes the preaching of the gospel. It summarizes the teaching ministry of Christ. And how does it describe that ministry of Christ, preaching ministry, but also his ministry of healing people and delivering people from the power of Satan? It describes it here by saying simply this: who went about doing good. It's God's people, as preachers, we need to make sure we're doing it the way Christ did it. To take the truth, but to use it in a good way. Use it in a godly way. Let's look also here in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. After this we come to our text. So we're not quite there yet. Matthew chapter 12. And we love this passage, in fact, verse number 18. A quote from the book of Isaiah, and it says, "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen," and of course this is talking about our Saviour, isn't it, the Lord Jesus, My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So what I'm trying to bring out of these verses here tonight is the manner in which ministry is done. God sent his Son, and what was his glory? The very fact that his Son revealed his good will towards sinners. We need to have good will if we're going to do God's work, God's way. We must have the Spirit of Christ. We must have the attitude of Christ in ministry. And this was the instructions that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy. If you would be kind enough to turn there to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let's look to the Lord at this time. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your glory. Now, Lord, we do worship you and praise you and thank you for your Son. And your word tells us, Lord, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodwill towards us tonight, your goodwill towards those that are without this place. And Lord, that you have called us to do the ministry. You've called us to fulfill the command of Christ to go into the world and preach the gospel unto every creature, to minister to your people. And Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight, that we may be challenged in having the same spirit, the same attitude of the Lord Jesus in ministry. It's in Jesus' name we ask these favours. Amen. Okay, so where I want us to start here is the word servant. This is really the key to the rest of the passage. We notice what's happening to this servant. We find that there's someone that opposes him. When you're doing God's work, there is going to be opposition. And so it tells us there about that opposition in verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, those who are against the Lord, that are against you as you are trying to do the Lord's work. And he says there, if the Lord peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. What's the purpose? The purpose is to help them to acknowledge the truth. And how are we going to do that effectively? Of course, we want sinners to acknowledge the truth of Christ. And then, of course, we want believers who are struggling to live for the Lord, who are maybe backslidden, and to see them to acknowledge the truth and to be reconciled to this, to the Lord. So it starts with being a servant. Those who are his servants. And of course, we remember Jesus said of himself that he came not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And he was, as a servant, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we need to remember as servants that it means sufferings. We need to realize that to be a faithful servant in the Lord's work, we're going to have to learn to endure sufferings. And these qualities that come out in this passage show to us how we can endure as a servant of God. So let's think about this word servant, which speaks of those who serve the Lord according to Christ's plan and Christ's spirit. Well, who are these servants? It speaks of those who give themselves up to another's will. This is very important. This speaks of us being truly surrendered to the will of Christ. We need to be willing to give up ourselves to another's will. We're not here to do our will. We are here to do Christ's will. And whether we happen to be a pastor or an evangelist, or whether we are a faithful member in a local church, you're not there to do your will. The pastor should not be there, and I say should not be there, to do his will. He should be there to do Christ's will. How many troubles come because people are doing their will instead of Christ's will? One who gives himself up to another's will. It also has the idea of devotion. I know, I love that. A servant is one who is devoted to another to the disregard of his own interests. Isn't that like Christ? He became poor that we might become rich. Are we willing to pay a price? Are we willing to be so devoted to the Lord? It speaks of a sacrifice, doesn't it? To be yielded up to him as a sacrifice for him to do with us whatever he wants. It's a great price to pay as a sacrifice. The sufferings to be endured. Sadly, the reality is bad things happen in churches. And you're going to suffer. If you're going to be a servant of the Lord, if you're going to be devoted to the Lord, there are things that you are going to have to suffer in serving the Lord through the local church. There's no such thing as cheap Christianity. There's a price to pay. So this is really the very foundation of what it is to be a servant, to have the right attitude in ministry, in serving the Lord. It speaks of those who serve the Lord according to Christ's plan and spirit. Jesus told us that it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Flesh profiteth nothing. And we have troubles when the flesh is what rears up its ugly head. You see, when we're not devoted, when we're not given up, haven't given ourselves up to him, it means the flesh is in control. All which is of the flesh has no profit. The flesh-driven preacher may achieve earthly results, but all will be of no eternal result, eternal profit. So when one is a servant of the Lord, they go, those that aren't in the flesh, but as a servant in the Lord, they go in complete dependence upon the way and the Spirit of Christ. So sometimes we get caught up with the results. It's great to have results. I like to have results too. But it doesn't mean that it's of God. We need to be careful. Some pastors can whip their people. They can get them there every service. They can get them to dress exactly how they're supposed to dress. But it's not from the heart. They haven't really been changed. They haven't truly been edified. That's really what the goal is. That's really what's of God. So there needs to be this work has to be done as God's way. So let's look here in our passage. If we're going to do it God's way as a servant, well, the first thing we find here is those that are a genuine servant, they won't strive. And it says there in verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive with others who resist the will and way of Christ. This is the absolute negative here. They must absolutely not do this. They must not strive. Striving is of the world. It's of the flesh. The book of James talks about this. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Now we must earnestly contend to the faith, but we must not strive. It must be done as a servant. It must be done in the Spirit of Christ. So it must not come to the point where the flesh is doing this supposed defending of the faith. James also says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Now those who end up striving are operating according to the wisdom that is of this world, not according to the wisdom of God. You see, let's remember what we looked there at in Luke chapter 2. What was God's glory? Was goodwill toward men. If you're striving, is there goodwill there anymore? When people get caught up in striving, it's about winning. That's what it's about. I'm right, you're wrong. It's not about goodwill. That's gone now. So we need to make sure that we're doing God's work God's way. And we do that by staying a servant, one who's given things up to his will. So Paul impresses upon Timothy that he must not strive. One thing is sure. We will never change the heart of a person by striving with them. The scriptures tell us that it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Jesus went about what? Doing good. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What the problem is, people's hearts need to be changed. And God touches people's heart by the glory of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we find here that they are to be gentle. Gentle, verse 24, but in the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. If you're in the flesh, you don't believe about in being gentle. If someone speaks badly to you, you'll tell them a thing or two when you're in the flesh. See. Now, we're not to be that way. Paul is saying, no, we're to follow in the way Christ does ministry. God's work needs to be done God's way. And when situations happen in ministry, whether it be some person that doesn't know the Lord as their Saviour outside of the church, and they do something wrong to us, we need to be gentle in return. If it's another brother or sister in Christ who has failed spiritually and they haven't done the right thing by you, you need to be gentle to them. That's God's way. God's work done God's way. Gentle unto all men. This speaks of being mild with people. It speaks of being friendly to people. This does not speak of a contrived gentleness, but a gentleness which is a result of a genuine good-heartedness toward all people, those who love us and those who don't. You see, we need to be, if we just love those that love us, we're not doing any more than what unsaved people do, do we? You see, we need to love those, we need to be gentle to those who are nice to us and who are not nice to us. You see, that's ministry. And it's not to be a contrived thing. What do I mean by that? Well, some will come to church, oh, it's so good to see you, brother so-and-so. The Lord bless you. And then they get home and they start talking around the table about brother so-and-so. And they don't really like brother so-and-so. You know that because of the things they're saying. You see. I'm talking about, the scriptures are talking here about a genuine good-heartedness. If you have a genuine good-heartedness, you don't do that kind of thing. You see. That's what Christ was like. That's what God was like. God knows that all men are sinners. He already knows it all. But he sent his Son, and this is his glory, that he has goodwill toward men. And folks, this is how we glorify God, by having a goodwill. And if people are bad to us, we still have goodwill to them. That's the power of God in our lives. You see. That's what it means to be a servant. Giving our will up to his will. Devoting ourselves to him so he can do with us whatever he wants. And we are called by Christ to travel the road of the cross, the road of suffering. That road is the road that is the greatest demonstration of the love of God for mankind. And that's what we're called to do, is to love people. We do that by being gentle. This word gentle here is the same word that's used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Don't turn there, I'll read it for you, where Paul is describing how he was towards the Thessalonian believers. And it says there, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And a mother has her little children around her. A little cheeky child, a bit of a disobedient child, but she's gentle to them. She sees beyond it all. She's thinking about when that child grows up. She's thinking that with time, by the grace of God, I can help this child by being gentle. Good parenting is gentle in the way they treat children. Sometimes, and sadly, we see parents that are harsh. They harshly rebuke. They severely punish their children. They belittle their children before others. The servant of the Lord is gentle to the people of God. I've heard of cases of pastors using the pulpit to whiplash people within the congregation. That's not being gentle, is it? That's not God's way. So sometimes, Andrew, some people will bring you to the end of your tether. Sometimes, Nathan, some people will, let's say, get up your nose like a rubber hose. Well, the old timers will remember that one. But you need to be gentle. You need to be gentle. That's the grace of God. It's the love of God in ministry. Being a servant. Gentleness was once highly regarded in Western society and considered an essential quality of men and women. Of course, these days that's long gone. But as believers, we are to be gentle. We are to be like Christ in the midst of a wicked world. Verse 24 goes on, talks about those who are apt to teach. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Those who are apt to teach are those who have firstly sought the Lord in prayer and studied diligently God's word. It tells us in Proverbs, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Being apt to teach. What qualifies us to instruct is more about being in a good relationship with God than about ability. Now, the Lord was able to use the jawbone of an ass in Samson's hand. And sometimes our message might really be more accurately described like the jawbone of an ass. But you know, folks, what counts is God's blessing. What counts is that we are in touch with God, and that as we preach the word and as weakly as we may preach that word, that the dear Spirit of God takes it and speaks to people's hearts. Amen. Apt to teach. This word, studieth, in Proverbs 15:28, is the same word that's used there in Joshua 1:8, where it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, or study therein day and night, that thou mayest deserve to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You cannot give a proper answer about any of the truths of spiritual life without meditating upon God's word first. Apt to teach. The effect of his word upon our hearts will prepare us to answer, and how we need that word. How we need the sword of the Spirit. How we need the power of the Word of God to soften us and to humble us and to prepare us before we begin to speak of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Apt to teach. The effect of God's Word upon our own hearts. Surely those who are apt to teach are those who come under the power and influence of the Word of God. The ministry is not about academics, is it? It's good to have academics, but that's hollow. What we need is the touch of God upon our lives, where his Word touches our hearts. We humble ourselves before his Word. And those who've been touched by God's word and that are apt to teach will teach his word with gentleness. How can I preach down at other sinners in a terrible, harsh way when I myself am nothing but a sinner? I've lost sight if I think that I'm more righteous than others and I've got a thing or two to tell them. I've lost sight of the realities of biblical truth. Let's remember the words of our Saviour. What kind of words? It tells us that all bear witness, bear him witness. They said, this is what Jesus was like. And they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? There was something different about the words of Christ. And folks, there needs to be something different about what we say. It mustn't be able to be explained that's because that man has great skill. It must only be able to be explained because God has done something. Amen. Apt to teach. Those who are apt to teach will not break the bruised reed. Those who are apt to teach will not quench the smoking flax. Let's look at our further here. Verse 24 continues with the word patient here. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Which speaks of bearing the wrongs of others in the Spirit of Christ. How long has it taken you to grow to where you are? Have you ever noticed how thick we are? Have you ever noticed how long it takes us to learn spiritual things? And we need to be patient in ministry. God's been patient with us. I would say God's been very patient with us. And we need to be patient with others. This reveals self-control, doesn't it? Giving people a chance to grow. I get a bit impatient. I've got all these trees in my block. And I want them to be like 20 years growth in 5 years. But it doesn't matter how much I want that, it just doesn't happen. We need to be patient in seeing people grow in spirit. To pray for them, to gently minister the word of God to them. So we need to bear the wrongs of others in ministry, being patient in those things. Jesus was like this himself. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Folks, it is our privilege to bear wrong of others for the cause of Christ. Some of you here tonight may have been hurt in the past. Maybe you've been in some churches and things were not nice there. It is your privilege to bear the wrongs of others for the cause of Christ. Amen. He bore our sin. Amen. And we can show our appreciation to him by willing to bear the wrongs of others in his grace. To bear it patiently, leaving it in God's hands. And especially for those who become preachers, being patient. We don't allow our pulpit to be turned into a launching pad for missiles at certain people in the congregation. If something needs to be said, and sometimes it does, you go to them directly. You don't use the pulpit. I heard one person say, and I thought it was a very good description, he called it Coward's Castle. It's hard. You know, I'm not naturally an upfront bloke to go to others to tell them, look, some things need to be straight. I don't like doing that. But just because I don't like doing that doesn't mean I shouldn't do it. But I dare not use the pulpit as a launching pad. We need to speak to people directly. Lastly, in meekness, verse 25, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. What kind of person is especially defined here by which Timothy had to instruct are those who oppose themselves. There may be a doctrinal opposition, but more often the biggest trouble comes from personal opposition. A lot of people are very orthodox, but they have a problem with attitude. And that's the very difficult stuff to deal with. And he says here, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. To such people and to all people, Paul exhorts Timothy to use meekness here. Meekness speaks of having that spirit in which we accept God's dealings. And I really like the testimonies we had earlier, where they were realizing that things were coming into their lives, but accepting that God has allowed these things. God has allowed these things. He's going to use those things in our lives for our good. He uses these things for the good of the church. And what we need to do is to have faith. Have faith in God during those times. So, the meek person is the one that is able to leave things in God's hands. The meek person doesn't strike out. The meek person doesn't try to justify themselves. The meek person doesn't try to make them get things right. They're able to let God take care of things. It's opposed to self-assertiveness and self-interest. It speaks of a trust in God's goodness and control over the situation. The meek person is not occupied with himself at all. He's occupied with the will of God. So these are the instructions that Paul gave to Timothy in helping him to do the ministry. These principles are based upon the ministry of Christ himself, the servant who would not strive, who went about doing good, the one whose father sent him, who had goodwill toward all men. We are to have goodwill in ministry, in serving the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the clear instruction of your word. And Lord, we see very clearly from this the very spirit of Christ and the attitude of God. And Lord, these are the things that need to be in our lives as we serve you. And we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.